US President Barack Obama will address the American people in a few hours' time, seeking to restore public confidence in his handling of the BP oil spill and push his plan to cut the nation's dependence on fossil fuels. For almost 2 months now, millions and millions of liters of oil have been spewing into the Gulf of Mexico and onto the region's pristine wetlands and beaches. It's causing a lot of anger and a lot of grief, as we heard this morning when we spoke with Kevin Wazan, the owner of Louisiana's biggest oyster farm.
The arrogance that's gone into this disaster by BP is astounding, but the lack of response by our federal government is just befuddling. I mean, they've given great speeches. I mean, words mean nothing anymore. I don't think that the president doesn't want to help, but it's, you've got to go beyond flowery words and start putting feet on the ground to fix the problem. Nobody's better suited to stopping, and this is scary to say, but nobody's better suited to stopping the oil than BP and oil people, okay? You got to let them run that because no one else knows how to do it. But as far as stopping oil from getting to the shore, BP has been beyond inept, beyond inept. And our people can do that. Why isn't the Coast Guard here? Why isn't the Navy here? Why isn't every able-bodied person that Barack Obama has at his disposal out on the coast stopping the oil from getting here in the first place? It's like they've decided we're just going to let it happen and deal with it later.
Louisiana oyster farmer Kevin Wazan, he's an eighth generation oyster farmer from Louisiana. EJ Dion is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution and our regular commentator on American politics. He joins us from Washington, D.C. EJ, welcome back to Breakfast.
Good to be with you always.
EJ, what does the U.S. president need to say in his Oval Office address to the nation?
Well, I think that he is going to say specifically that he wants Congress to pass a comprehensive energy bill. He is also going to announce a shakeup in the now famous Minerals Management Service. He's going to reorganize and reform the agency that oversees drilling and name a former Justice Department Inspector General. So he's going to create the sense of action. He has had a very tough couple of weeks, as that interview you just had on suggested. National Public Radio put out a poll this morning of marginal seats in the House of Representatives that had very little good news for the Democrats in it. Last week came a very disappointing jobs report, and there are the criticisms of the president's handling of the oil spill. Now, the administration says it has sent tens of thousands of people there, that it's acted it's been much more active than it's gotten credit for. But there is a lot of criticism that it hasn't been well coordinated. He may name some kind of czar. It seems a very popular word in Washington these days to oversee this. He's also got a particular problem in terms of what's going to come out of the Gulf. Louisiana, Alabama, and Mississippi, these states that are most affected, are all voted against him in the last election. They're all Republican states. There was a poll out in Louisiana today that showed disapproval of Obama by 55 to 36. It was almost exactly the margin for John McCain in the last election. 9 of 10 McCain people still don't like him. 9 of 10 Obama's people are still with him. What he hasn't done is risen above those numbers in this mess, and that's what he's going to try to do tonight.
Seems to me that the comment there from Kevin Wazan is devastating when he said, you know, that he needs to go beyond flowery words. You have to put feet on the ground. It feeds into that all talk, no action image of the Obama administration, which the Republicans have been hammering home from day one, doesn't it? I mean, has that just exacerbated that?
No, it has been. And there are so many ironies here that, you know, the Republican Party is the party that was closest to the oil industry. And in an effort to get a comprehensive energy bill through Congress, Obama essentially switched his position on offshore drilling and said, OK, now I'm for it. And that was just weeks before the spill. So all of a sudden that switch in position literally blew up in his face. Mm. And tonight, ironically, he is going to have to use words again to convey a sense of action. I suspect you are going to hear him describe all the things they have been doing. And, you know, it's a very big coast down there. And there are going to be a lot of places where people are going to have complaints. But that's not a good excuse for a president in the middle of a mess, obviously.
He's already pulled out some of the big guns when it comes to words. On the weekend, he said, let me just quote him here. He likened the impact of the oil spill disaster on the nation's psyche to the 9/11 terrorist attacks. Now, that's certainly pulling out the big guns. What did he mean? What is the What's the similarity here with 9/11?
Well, I must say, I think that is a step too far. I just don't see anything having quite the impact of 9/11. But the number one, the continuing coverage of this, the awful pictures of this well continuing to spew out oil day after day, the pictures of oil balls on the beaches and, you know, soaked birds and all of the people in the fishing and shrimping industries who are temporarily out of business, this has sort of seeped into the consciousness of the country. I don't think it would be quite as bad if we had a roaring economy. But what you have is this bad news in the Gulf over on top of an economy that's recovering very, very slowly. And so I think the two have come together to create a real problem for Obama.
Yes, there's already massive unemployment there, and this has just created a whole lot more. And there's absolutely nothing the president can do, it seems, to stop that. I mean, is it fair that, Kevin Voisin's criticism, they didn't put enough boots on the ground? Is it fair? Because just a week or two ago, we heard the president pledge a tripling of the presence of the Coast Guard and the Navy to help.
If you talk to the White House, they will give numbers in the tens of thousands of the people who have been sent down there, both through the Coast Guard, through various environmental agencies, through the Department of Homeland Security. They have a lot of they have an awful lot of boots on the ground, whether they're enough or not. And so the breadth of this is so great that it is extremely difficult to deal with. And you have this situation where this Minerals Management Service that he's going to announce a shakeup in tonight, a lot of the problems in that agency long predate the Obama administration. The difficulty is he was in office 16 months when this happened. He had not gotten around to fixing that. And obviously, in retrospect, it's an agency he wishes he had fixed, about a year ago.
EJ, the president recently said that America must, and I quote, move forward in a bold way in a direction that finally gives us the kind of future-oriented visionary energy policy we so vitally need and has been absent for so long. Do you think in his Oval Office address tonight there might be something from the president in terms of outlining some kind of plan to reduce America's dependence on fossil fuels? Will he try and sneak that in?
I think it's going to be a centerpiece of the speech tonight from what they are saying. Incidentally, I want to say as an aside, there is going to be a lot of tough talk on BP. I think, you know, as your interview suggested, there's anger at Obama. There's also enormous anger down there at BP. But yes, he is going to try to use this to push for a bill to create a less oil-dependent economy. The difficulty is that there is a compromise bill up there already in the Capitol. And there are 11 Democrats in the Senate who in one way or another have expressed doubts about voting for it. So that gets him down to only 48 votes. So it's a very hard push for this bill, even without the small but significant decline in the president's popularity. But he's going to be out there for that tonight.
But in what terms? Trying to put forward some kind of price on carbon or?
Well, I think they still would like a bill that would eventually put a price on carbon. They want a lot of conservation measures. They want to encourage more fuel-efficient cars. There are a lot of elements in this bill that John Kerry, Senator from Massachusetts, and Joe Lieberman of Connecticut have that had at one point some Republican support. Put together a combination of looking forward to putting some price on carbon, but in the meantime, doing a lot of taking a lot of steps toward conservation. But again, it's all year long. It's just looked like a very difficult slog for that bill. He's hoping this terrible event will spark more interest in it, but I think there are still a lot of skeptics around Washington as to whether this can pass.
How will the skeptics feel about the symbolism of an Oval Office address? This is the president's first Oval Office address. It's a big deal. George W. Bush's first one was after the September 11 attacks. It's loaded with symbolism. Should he have done this a little earlier to really live up to the symbolic nature of it?
Well, you know, the Oval Office address has become less and less common. Ronald Reagan gave 33 of them. Bill Clinton only gave 15. George W. Bush only gave 7. And 5 of them, beginning with that 9/11 address, were about terrorism or the war in Iraq. I think the fact that he has chosen to give an Oval Office speech does reflect a sense, if not of crisis in the White House, a sense that he has a real problem and needs to show leadership, needs to show that he's grabbing hold of the country's problems. It clearly shows they know they needed to do something big, and that's why he's speaking from the Oval Office tonight.
Meanwhile, back to the politics and the economics of this in terms of the oil companies, because executives from the major companies have been defending their practices before Congress, before a committee in Congress. But Moody's agency has said the spill has created a financial, legal, regulatory and environmental crisis for companies working in the Gulf of Mexico. Are people concerned about the impact of this on the broader economy, not just there on the Gulf economy?
I think they are. And of course,
are the oil industry just, you know, public enemy number one, all of them?
Well, the oil industry is public enemy number one. They have been hammered this week on Capitol Hill, where some documents came out suggesting that they took the cheap way out in when they were on this rig in ways that turned out to be very dangerous. So that you can't, there's nothing you can't say about BP that's negative and not get cheered for. But I think this notion that this could have ripple effects on the economy is beginning to sink in. The president has put on a temporary moratorium on drilling down there. Until we're sure that the oil companies know how to deal with a disaster. So, yes, I think that over the next few weeks, the news story will be, will this have substantial ripple effects outside of the immediate region?
Okay, EJ, thanks very much for joining us.
Great to be with you.
Talk to you again soon, I'm sure. That's EJ Dion, our man in Washington. He's a columnist with the Washington Post and our regular commentator. It's 18 past 8 on RM Breakfast.